up, but actually it was quite different. It was a case of avoiding a war on his part when he agreed with Khrushchev not to invade Cuba again. But they never forgave him for that, and nevertheless, even worse, they were continuing to violate the president's specific order, which is the law of the land, and they were training daily for the ultimate invasion of Cuba. They had a cover name, which they kept secret, but it's kind of surfaced in some recent years. It's called Operation Mongoose, and it looked like, on the surface, like a legitimate a series of forays against Cuba, ostensibly in a national interest. But if you look at the actual description in a 1961 memorandum of Operation Mongoose, as described by Major General Lansdale, who'd spent years in Vietnam, even the Vietnam War going, you will see that it was clear that he had in mind once more the ultimate invasion of Cuba and nothing less. And so what you had under the cover of Operation Mongoose, you had this daily training going north of Lake Pontchartrain. That's how New Orleans comes into it. I didn't put New Orleans into it. Sometimes people say, why you, as if I brought New Orleans into it? And the answer, of course, if I was D.A. of Pittsburgh, it wouldn't have been me. But I was D.A. of New Orleans, and New Orleans was where they were setting up this next invasion of Cuba. And every day or so, Dave Ferry would drive from dressed in Army combat outfits, black boots, and he'd drive from Bannister's office across the lake and check the training, which consisted largely of shooting, come back and give his report, and it was moving forward pretty steadily until Kennedy learned in late 63, precisely August the 1st, 1963, he learned now that for several years now, his orders against any more anti-Cuba activity, much less preparation for a new land invasion of Cuba, was being violated. So he had to call on the FBI to actually raid the CIA camp where the Cubans and other anti-Castro people were being trained. But even then, the FBI, because the intelligence community protects different parts of each other, did not make it public to the people until we were able to find it out. The troops were being trained there, too, to land in Cuba. But they broke it up for the time being. I'm not sure that made a lot of difference by then. A lot of men had been trained since this was August 1st, 63. An awful lot of men had been trained and were available to do some shooting when November came in Dallas.
This reminds me a little of some of the Iran-Contra activities that certain elements of intelligence through NSC seemed to be carrying on, a foreign policy that was separate, at least from the espoused policy of the executive branch and certainly the foreign policy of the Congress.
You're listening to part one of the assassination of JFK, the Garrison interview. I'm Bonnie Faulkner. This is Guns and Butter. I'm joined this morning by Tony Bates at WBAI, and we want to encourage everyone to please call in, support this station, support Free Speech Radio. We're offering this pre-produced radio documentary. It's actually 2 hours long. It was produced there at WBAI in 1988. Co-produced by Andrew Phillips, who has a long history with Pacifica Radio. It's narrated by Roscoe Mercer. That's The Assassination of JFK, The Garrison Interview, Part 1 and Part 2. Please give us a call, and for a $75 tax-deductible donation, we would be delighted at WBAI to provide you with this two-hour radio documentary, 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. A lot of very interesting information in what we've just heard, and the name of Richard Nixon came up in regard to the Bay of Pigs. We don't normally hear Richard Nixon's name associated with the Bay of Pigs, and of course, he was Eisenhower's vice president, and he did come into power as president and did keep the Vietnam War going. So that's very interesting history. And what I'm also thinking is so very significant about the Cold War then against Russia, we're going right back into that history today with the Cold War against Russia. You hear all the saber rattling by the administration against Russia. 516-620-3602. Tony?
516-620-3602. And I really appreciate the point that you just made, Bonnie. It speaks to the power of the media. I was speaking with our news director here, Linda Perry, and talking about the fact that I've begun to notice that the media is moving us back toward that Cold War stance with Russia, which is interesting to me. It's been ISIS, whatever is in the Middle East. Suddenly, slowly, we've been moved back in that direction, and I'm curious where that will lead. She said she'd been reporting about that on our news here at WBAI, but I think back to the documentary, it's incredibly important, folks, to when you hear the details, the behind the scenes, because what we get from the news media is kind of like the Facebook bits, the two sentences or the 30-second bites. This is a documentary that goes deep into that history. And you hear Garrison saying that those things that you hear, those are people who are not well studied. They don't know the background of this information. And that's why this documentary was created. It's one of the beautiful things we get to do here at Pacifica, our own investigative reporting. We can create this kind of radio documentary and bring it to you. It was created right here at WBAI. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Give us a call. We accept your American Express card. We accept your Visa card. We accept your Discover card, your MasterCard. Make a pledge of support and understand this show, Bonnie. Your show is very popular in this city. During my first tour of duty here, my first stint here at WBAI, I helped to bring your show onto the airwaves here. And I got so many phone calls, so many people out in the streets saying, guns and butter, guns and butter, guns and butter. Anecdotally, it was the most popular show I put on the air here. And I'm very proud of that. It's because of the level of information that you bring in. What you do is to go behind the scenes and behind the media stories and to dig up those details, as is done in this documentary. And that, folks, should be supported. Bonnie Faulkner is a unique voice, even in the Pacifica family. And for those of you who think that that we are all conspiracy all the time, you have to understand that Bonnie and I struggle to get those kind of topics on the air. Everyone here is not responsive to that. So we're grateful for those of you who do support when we bring this kind of information to the airwaves. 516-620-3602 is the phone number to call, a $75 pledge, and we'll send this disc out to you. And remember, we have this in-house until we can get it to you faster than we normally send out our other premiums. So make a pledge of support. You're really supporting the work that Bonnie Faulkner does. From my perspective, her program is one of the most important programs in the Pacifica Network, one of the most progressive and most important. And the reason, one of the things I love about your program, Bonnie, is that you evolved it. It started out in one direction, and it became a show about the behind the scenes, the economy, the what's going on, who's really running things via the economy. And you also cover many other topics that we don't get to hear on any other programs in the network or in the mainstream media. And that's why Guns and Butter is on the air at WBAI. 516-620-3602. It's a two-hour radio documentary. You heard the voice of Jim Garrison. There is much more here. But first, we need your support, folks. Let us get five more people on the line. We've got people calling in. We appreciate that very much. Before we go back to the clips, though, we want to get five more of you. Pledging just $75. 516-620-3602. And Bonnie, you may have told the audience this, that the general manager, Bertold Reimers, has asked every program to focus on their true fans who will sustain the program. And that means by becoming a WBAI buddy and donating $10 a month in support of a program so that it can keep its place here on WBAI. How do you do that? Well, you get that credit card out, or you can use your checking account even, debit card, whatever you want to do, and you pledge at the $10 a month level, $20 a month level, $25 a month level. And we take that money out each month. It's almost like you don't miss it. But then for a 12-month period, you've supported WBAI. That initial pledge, if you want to do $10 a month, is just $120. Think about what you spend $10 a month on that might be better repurposed to support free speech radio and the kind of work that Bonnie Faulkner does each week on this station. It is one of my favorite programs in the entire network. And she has suffered the slings and arrows and stuck to her guns and butter. and created an incredible radio show. 516-620-3602. Bonnie?
Well, thank you so much, Tony. You know, I was recently in New York. I hadn't been there for many decades. And I can attest to the fact that WBAI has some very, very loyal listeners, people who love WBAI. I was recording the audio from 9/11 Justice in Focus that took place on September 10th and 11th. And the listeners in the audience that are WBAI supporters came up and talked to me and talked and talked and talked about how much they love WBAI, how much they love Guns and Butter. It was absolutely incredible. So I know, and Tony knows, and Michael Haskin knows, everyone at WBAI knows that you're out there, that you support this radio station. This is so very vital to call in and pledge your financial support. 516-620-3602. And I can't say enough how important WBAI is. There's no other radio station out there that is going to broadcast information that you're not going to be able to hear anywhere else. The media in this country is absolutely and totally controlled. Please give us a call. Pledge that $75. That's a tax-deductible donation. 516-620-3602. And, you know, Tony, before we go back to hear some more audio from part one of the assassination of JFK, the Garrison interview, I wanted to draw everyone's attention to the excerpt that I pulled at the very beginning when Jim Garrison's voice is talking about how if this Kennedy assassination is not dealt with as the crime that it was, if this is not dealt with, that the Republic will not stand. And I think we're living that history today. We are still a republic in name, but what is going on? Do the people, do American citizens have any say in what happens? I don't think so. And I think that Jim Garrison's words were extremely prophetic. This Cold War with Russia, as I mentioned before, and Tony mentioned, is heating up again. This is very scary. I just saw a news article yesterday that says that came out. It was on an official Russia news service, says that the Russian people need to prepare for a nuclear war with the psychopaths that are running the country of the United States. They're going to have a drill in Moscow for a nuclear war. I also read that they have underground facilities in Moscow for all of the citizens to go underground. And I'm reading this and thinking, I can't believe I'm reading this. This is 2016. What are we talking about? But it's very interesting to go back to this history and to what Jim Garrison said and to this Cold War. We are still living this history. As he said, John Kennedy wanted to end the Cold War, and he was killed. And here we are in a perpetual war, invading and occupying all these countries in the Middle East. This is still going on. It was not stopped. And here I'm reading this crazy stuff about a nuclear war with Russia. It is just absolutely insane. But this is why you need to support this radio station. You need to learn this history because we're still living it. We're very much involved in this. 516-620-3602. Please make that pledge, $75. And we would be more than happy to provide you with this two CD set. 516-620-3602, The Assassination of JFK, The Garrison Interview, Part 1. Tony, can listeners also pledge online at WBAI.org?
Well, they can go to give2WBAI.org. That's give, the numeral 2, WBAI.org. Make your pledge of support either there or at 516-620-3602, and we go back to the documentary.
This reminds me a little of some of the Iran-Contra activities that certain elements of intelligence through NSC seem to be carrying on, a foreign policy that was separate at least from the espoused policy of the executive branch and certainly the foreign policy of the Congress. But in this case, the president acted through the FBI to break up this secret team's activities.
It's not just a little. That's a very good analogy, a metaphor. But it's not just a little. Like, it really is the predecessor to it. In other words, the CIA was in the Kennedy thing was not using just CIA individuals. It was going off the shelf, which is his phrase, going outside of the agency offices, so forth, and going to taking some civilian groups and other groups off the shelf operation that was building up by 63, which I just described. A force from which you had the central ingredients that actually murdered John Kennedy, which, again, leaves it nothing but a CIA murder of John Kennedy, with the covert elements of the CIA. That's what I want to emphasize. But that was indeed the predecessor of the Iran-Contra business. It was the grandfather of that and the others which followed. I think Casey had in mind setting up a series of off-the-shelf operations, and it probably wasn't the first one the North was involved in.
Friday, November 22nd, 1963. The first day begins at an early morning breakfast meeting. President Kennedy greets an overflow audience.
2 years ago, I said that introduced myself in Paris by saying that I was the man who had accompanied Mrs. Kennedy to Paris. I'm getting somewhat that same sensation as I travel around Texas. Nobody wonders what Lyndon and I wear.
A short flight to Love Field in Dallas. Arrival time, 11:37 of the same morning.
It looks like a police convention. We have never seen as many Dallas police officers in one location in all of our years of covering Dallas news, but they are here in great profusion. The security precautions at this luncheon they're going to attend range from the distance from the president's car door to the trademark entrance and to how many doors and windows are in the building, and even the method of selecting the steak the president will eat. And here is the presidential jet, U.S. Air Force number one, printed on the side, and the crowd begins its cheer, which you can't hear over the whistle and hum of the jet, but handkerchiefs are being waved, the placards are being held high, and hundreds of tiny American flags are now being waved toward the presidential jet. The doors fly open and the loading ladders are being wheeled into place. This is a split-second timed operation for the Secret Service and the Air Force and the Signal Corps. Nothing's left to chance. Every possible precaution has been taken.
Six two zero three six zero two. It's Guns and Bonner. Bonnie Faulkner.
Well, that's right, Tony. 516-620-3602. So very, very important for you to call in and pledge your support to WBAI. I know that we have many, many loyal listeners out there. We need your support. We need to keep the station on the air. It's very expensive to operate a full radio station. This is not an internet broadcast. This is a radio station. We need your support. It's vital. I don't know of any other radio network in the United States besides Pacifica in which you can air information that you can't hear anywhere else. That is, in our media today, is so very, very controlled. It's on lockdown. We need WBAI, this vital, vital resource. 516-620-3602. I'm Bonnie Faulkner. You're listening to Guns and Butter. We're going to go for an extra hour today, and we're going to play some more audio of the assassination of JFK, the Garrison interview. We've been listening to excerpts from part one. There's a whole other hour and a half of this audio with Jim Garrison. You're also going to hear the voice of Lee Harvey Oswald himself, Philip Melanson, Oliver Stone, the assassination of JFK, the Garrison interview, a standalone pre-produced radio documentary narrated by Roscoe Mercer right there at WBAI. For a $75 financial donation to WBAI tax deductible, we can send you this two-hour radio documentary, 516-620-3602. You need to make that call, 516-620-3602. A donation in any amount is very, very much appreciated. You know, I've heard for years that if everyone who listened to Pacifica actually donated $25 a year, we wouldn't even have to have fundraisers. Mm. So we depend upon that percentage of the audience that calls in and makes that financial donation. Well, if you're listening right now and you haven't pledged to WBAI, I encourage you to please call in and do your part to support this station, 516-620-3602. Tony, what's that website again where they can pledge online?
That's give2wbai.org. That's give, the numeral 2, wbai.org. You can pledge your $75 there to get this two-hour in-house produced radio documentary. It's one of the gifts of Pacifica, as I said before. We can do our own investigating, folks. We don't have to accept what the media is telling us. And that's what this documentary is about. The media feeds us stories. It feeds us half-truths. It feeds us crafted stories that have nothing to do with reality. There are commercials on our news. It 2 years ago or 3 years ago, Naomi Wolf does a wonderful piece about this on YouTube, a nine-minute piece about how you have to check because it is law that the government can use the news to lie to you. That is law, and that's why Pacifica Radio and WBAI is so important. Independent producers like Bonnie Faulkner who have a different perspective than almost any other radio host you've heard. She has a different perspective, she has a unique perspective, and she does not trust what the mainstream is saying, much like me. And I don't know that I should say this on the air or not, Bonnie, but I'm going to put us both on blast. One of my favorite things that happened when you were here at WBAI was I mentioned something to you about a news story, and you looked at me and said, Tony, the news is fake. And I was like, thank God, someone else knows too. That's why we have to have this voice. That's why your donations are so important. We have to tell the story because they are feeding us lies and half-truths. Without WBAI, there would be so many stories. I mean, we broke the news for so many years. We brought up things. We forced them to cover stories. They didn't want a story. All of the Pacifica stations have done this at some point in their history. And, folks, it's only because of you and your donations that we've had the ability to do that, to enlighten the entire country based on your supporting your local station. It's that important. Every pledge counts. 516-620-3602. $75 for this two-hour documentary, Who Assassinated JFK. Give us a call and pledge. We will send this documentary out to you very proudly because we created it right here at home. It's a part of our history, too. 516-620-3602. I'm so grateful that we have voices like yours. Progressive programs, like even, you know, I consider Gary Null's program also and one of the more progressive programs in the network because he comes from a perspective of what's best for people, not from what I call tribalism, the Democrats and Republicans, but it's your show takes that same kind of bent. What is best, not what is from my team? And I think it's so important that many people are moving that way as they begin to see the absurdity of the electoral system, for instance, and what happened with Bernie Sanders, as they begin to see the absurdity of a reality show host this close to the presidency. Folks, can you imagine what could happen to Pacifica Radio if Donald Trump becomes president? Do you know that they have chipped away and chipped away and chipped away at our ability to do what we do? We cannot let that happen, and that's why you must support this station, 516-620-3602. We have just 3 minutes left in this hour. We need to raise another $1,000. Really, we do. So we need every line to ring, folks, 516-620-3602. You know, Bonnie, Roy of Hollywood, one of our longtime hosts, 40-year host in L.A., said that when the CPB gave us money, he predicted that they would give us that money only to snatch it away at some point and weaken us. And that has happened. And we must now, folks, we used to have money coming in from the government and other sources. And some folks even think that we're connected with the college and we get money that way. No. 90% of our funding comes from you, our listeners. Please continue to do that. 516-620-3602, a $75 pledge. Or visit givetowbai.org and make your pledge of support there. It's imperative that you do your part to keep this program, Guns and Butter, on the air. Bonnie.
Well, you know, Tony, I wanted to mention to the listeners that if they pledge today on Guns and Butter for a $75 pledge, your $75 is going to go even further because the assassination of JFK, the Garrison interview, part one and part two, was produced in-house in 1988 at WBAI by Andrew Phillips and David Mendelson. And so the station does not have to go out and buy premiums in order to provide them to you. This was produced in-house. Your entire $75 pledge is going to go straight to WBAI. They're going to be able to use all of that money to pay the expenses of keeping this vital station on the air. $75 tax-deductible contribution, 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Or give to, the number two, WBAI.org. It looks like we're almost at the top of the hour. I think it's about time for a station break, right, Tony?
Absolutely. We'll take a quick break here, Bonnie, and we'll come back. Remember, folks, in the next hour, we have a goal of $3,000. We'll need you to continue to make those phone calls. Bonnie will be here with us for an extra hour. Stay tuned and continue to listen to Guns and Butter, but keep those phone calls coming and pledge your support at 516-620-3602.
WBAI, sexto sentido y nada más. WBAI de Cuba.
This is DJ Hard-Hitting Harry, producer and co-host of Haitian All-Stars Radio, heard right here on WBAI 99.5 FM. Tune in for a special day and time on Saturday, October 8th from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. as we broadcast live for the WBAI October Fund Drive. Join us as we raise funds as well as play great music that Team Haitian All-Stars is known for. We look forward to your valued and continued support of WBAI on behalf of our radio show, Haitian All-Stars. To make a contribution, call 516-620-3602 or visit givetowbai.org. Don't miss Haitian All-Stars Radio in a special day and time, Saturday, October 8th, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., right here on listener-sponsored WBAI 99.5 FM, your community station.
Back with Guns and Butter. This is WBAI New York 99.5 FM. My name is Tony Bates, and I'm in studio and co-host or co-pitching with Bonnie Faulkner, the host of Guns and Butter. Again, one of my favorite programs in the entire network, and I'm so grateful, Bonnie, that we get to have you here in New York City.
Well, thanks a lot, Tony, and I'm very grateful to all of the listeners who've called in and pledged your support for WBAI this morning. I want to encourage a few more of you to get on the phone at 516-620-3602, $75, which will go straight to WBAI. They'll be able to use that entire $75 pledge to help with the expenses of keeping WBAI on the air. We're offering a two-hour radio documentary that was produced right there at WBAI. 516-620-3602, $75. Well, what do you think, Tony and Michael? I guess let's listen to a little bit more of part one. And I also, hopefully, we're going to have time in the second hour to listen to parts of part two. Let's get back to the assassination of JFK, the Garrison interview, part one.
Thank you.
This is the first of a series of Latin listening post interviews with persons more or less directly concerned with the conflict between the United States and Cuba. In subsequent programs, we will present talks with people who are connected with the Cuban refugee organizations, people who are connected with President Batista, and U.S. citizens with direct stakes in the outcome of the Cuban situation. Tonight, we have with us a representative of probably the most controversial organization connected with Cuba in this country. The organization, the Fair Play for Cuba Committee. The person, Lee Oswald, secretary of the New Orleans chapter to the Fair Play for Cuba Committee. This organization has long been on the Justice Department's blacklist and is a group which is generally considered to be the leading pro-Castro body in the nation. As a reporter of Latin American affairs in this city for several years now, your columnist has kept a lookout for local representatives of this pro-Castro group. None appeared in public view until this week, when young Lee Oswald was arrested and convicted for disturbing the peace. He was arrested while passing out pro-Castro literature to a crowd which included several violently anti-Castro Cuban refugees. When we finally tracked Mr. Oswald down today and asked him to participate in Latin Listening Post, he told us frankly that he would because it may help his organization attract more members in this area. With that in mind, and knowing that Mr. Oswald must have had to demonstrate a great skill in dialectics before he was entrusted with his present post, we now proceed on a course of random questioning of Mr. Oswald. Mr. Oswald, if I may, how long has the Fair Play for Cuba Committee had an organization in New Orleans?
We have had members in this area for several months now. Up until about 2 months ago, however, we have not organized our members into any sort of an active group. Until, as you say, this week, we have decided to feel out the public what they think of our organization, our aims. And for that purpose, we have been, as you say, distributing literature on the street for the purpose of trying to attract new members and feel out the public.
Are you at liberty to reveal the membership of your organization?
No, I'm not.
For what reason?
Well, as secretary, I believe it's standard operating procedure that an organization consisting of a political minority protect the names and addresses of its members, and I have every, that is my duty, and I have every reason to do that.
Mr. Oswald, there are many commentators in the journalistic field in this country that equate the Fair Play for Cuba Committee with the American Communist Party. What's your feeling about this, and are you a member of the American Communist Party?
Well, the Fair Play for Cuba Committee, with its headquarters at 799 Broadway in New York, has been investigated by the Senate subcommittees who are occupied with this sort of thing. They have investigated our organization from the viewpoint of taxes, subversion, allegiance, and in general where and how and why we exist. They have found absolutely nothing to connect us with the Communist Party of the United States. In regards to your question about whether I myself am a communist, as I said, I do not belong to any other organization.
I noticed from your pamphlets that
we've been listening to an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald, which was done in the summer of 1963. On the line is Dr. Philip Melanson, who is a leading expert and author on the subject of the political assassins, an expert on the subject of intelligence in the United States.
The clip you just played is a classic because he tells the interviewer, creates the same impression that he would create for the FBI when, after his arrest, he asked that an FBI agent be brought into his cell so he could give him a lot of information. And both in that radio interview just played and the FBI interview, he made the Fair Play for Cuba chapter sound like a powerful, clandestine, secretive organization when in fact it had no members, only a bunch of paper that he generated and only him, and he never tried to find any other kinds of any other members.
Since I was then in the city and happened to be DA and had the responsibility of seeing what Lee Oswald was doing this summer of 63, I went down to 544 camp to look at it and see what it was. And I took one look and I said, hell, this is a side entrance to Guy Bannister's office. I knew Guy. He used to be head of the Chicago FBI office, and during World War II, he was in the Office of Naval Intelligence.
Lee Harvey Oswald, when he was giving out leaflets supposedly in support of Castro, the Fair Play for Cuba Committee, 544 Camp Street was stamped on the literature. So this is where 544 comes into the case, through Oswald having worked there in the same building where Guy Bannister was operating.
But just to underscore the significance of what you just said, what you're describing is a situation in which ostensibly communist material has stamped on it an address 544 Camp, which is the location of part of the intelligence community in New Orleans, meaning, without a question of a doubt, this prima facie evidence, that Lee Oswald was not a communist at all. He was an agent provocateur. We later found out that on the third floor of Bannister's office, he located a small room and cleaned it out and gave it to Oswald to keep his pamphlets in. But you could see Oswald starting out in the morning, and Bannister with his gruff voice and his sort of steel blue eyes saying, "Lee, you're doing a good job. Get some more of those pamphlets out today, son. They like what you're doing in Washington." So he goes out and hands them out like he's a communist, but he's the one that calls the news people to come take the pictures. And he's acting out a role as a communist, but he doesn't know they're really fattening him up to be the turkey for Thanksgiving. He's the scapegoat. They're going to have him murdered by making him look like a communist.
Bannister was once the chief of the FBI office in Chicago. How did he first come to your attention in relationship to the assassination, Guy Bannister?
He first came to my attention, well, before the assassination, when I was district attorney. Shep Morris and the mayor of New Orleans said, "We have a man named Bannister. Looks like he might be a good assistant superintendent of police for that vacancy." And I didn't know much about him, but I said, "If he's got a good FBI background, he certainly is organized and sounds good to me." But anyway, how did he first come to my attention was when I, after spending some nights with the Warren Commission, when I had put aside the address 544 Camp to check because I saw that Lee Oswald was putting that stamp, or his little rubber stamp, on papers. He only did it one day, and they stopped him. They kind of had a heart attack, I'm sure, but when he was putting that on the papers he was handing out to the public. But he didn't know that he was set to be the scapegoat, so he was doing what he thought was natural. But what actually happened was, when he was arrested on August the 9th and brought to the first district, first thing he did was to ask to speak to an FBI agent. And the FBI agent came over, Agent Quigley, and very promptly Quigley and Oswald were locked in a private conference for some time.
This is Oswald was arrested?
Yeah, he was arrested on 9th August because of a controversy. It was a set-up controversy with other Cubans. In other words, one of those things with another Cuban who at the right time said, Oswald said, "Hit me, Carlos," and Carlos swung at him and hit him, and then Oswald pleaded guilty. That's just to make it look like he was a troublemaker for the communists. It was all set up. And it was it resolved in those particular pamphlets becoming available to the eye, though, and ultimately available to me. So I put him on a side check, and then a few nights later, I came across in the Warren Commission report. I'm surprised nobody else found it first. I found myself reading Colonel Folsom's 201, his personnel file, 201 file of Lee Oswald and the Marines, and he casually mentioned, "And here's Lee Oswald's grades in a Rison test." And somebody must have kicked him under the table because he said he didn't do too well. He got almost as many right as he got wrong. But I wouldn't get any right in a Rison test. With all my years in the military, and I was a major by then, I never took a Rison test. Here's a private taking a Rison examination. And so I realized then that there were signs of intelligence before I left the house, and intelligence training of Oswald for some mission. And this was not long before when he took his test, not long before he left for Russia. So obviously, in retrospect, he didn't leave as a communist. He left as a young Marine with an intelligence assignment, because otherwise the Marines wouldn't be teaching him Russian. But I want to see what this sort of place is Russian when this, quote, Russian studying Marine was operating out of, and that's what caused me to go down that weekend morning to Lafayette Square and look at 544 Camp Street, where I found, my God, this so-called communist, the lone assassin, the man who's supposed to have murdered John Kennedy, the man who was butchered before anybody could ask him too many questions, was an agent provocateur working for the United States government. That address, 544 Camp, was a side entrance to Guy Bannister's office. around the corner on Lafayette Street was the entrance to Bannister's office. Across the street, where in the post office building, was an office of naval intelligence, and Bannister was naval intelligence in World War II. I knew some of these people. I knew that. And the Secret Service, as a district attorney in New Orleans, I knew where some of these places. Secret Service was also across the street. Around the corner in Lafayette, just across Lafayette Square, around the corner, was the office of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And also on another floor, the office of the Central Intelligence Agency. The lone assassin, this person who'd been described to all Americans and lied by the lies by the federal government to all the world as a communist, was a soldier doing his assignment, a Marine soldier doing what he was taught to do after he was given intelligence training, operating right out of the heart, the very heart of the intelligence community. The reason that the heart is located there, so close to the riverfront, is that's where all the ships go from New Orleans down to Central America and South America. And a lot of the members of the ship's staff, as you might imagine, are intelligence men, too. Nobody was in that office who was not intelligence, Bannister's office. The time that he began operating, the week, is not specific, but it's known that it was through August that he was handing out the pamphlets. And earlier in the summer, he was working around the corner at the Riley Coffee Company. Well, Mr. Riley, not necessarily involved at all, but apparently the nesting place was made available for some requests that the coffee company didn't know the reason for, but requests by the intelligence community for this nesting place for Oswald. He was operating out of the Riley Coffee Company. Didn't have that much to do, so he spent most of his time at the Alba Garage next door, which happened to be the garage, and that's something else I was aware of. That was a garage for the intelligence community. It didn't even accept civilian automobiles. It was filled up with the intelligence community. So that's where he spent the earlier part of the summer, and then when August came, he was handing out the pamphlets as an agent provocateur to look like a communist, so that when Jack Kennedy was murdered by the covert action elements getting ready to kill him for the CIA, so this foreign policy could be changed back to the Cold War policy. He was being trained like a turkey being fattened for Thanksgiving.
You've been listening to the voice of a former New Orleans District Attorney Jim Garrison talking about Lee Harvey Oswald. Actually, at the beginning of this cut, you heard Lee Harvey Oswald himself being interviewed on the radio in New Orleans. Then we heard Jim Garrison talking about his investigation of Oswald, who obviously at the time that Garrison was talking about this was years later after Oswald had been assassinated himself in Dallas. But talking about the history that he was discovering about Lee Harvey Oswald's many connections with intelligence in New Orleans. You're listening to audio from part one of The Assassination of JFK, the Garrison Interview. I'm Bonnie Faulkner. This is Guns and Butter. We're going for 2 hours today instead of just one, because this is a fundraiser for Free Speech Radio, WBAI. I want to encourage everyone to call in and support this radio station. We're offering this 2-CD set. This is an historic document. You hear Jim Garrison's voice. You hear Oliver Stone. You hear Lee Harvey Oswald himself. You hear Philip Melanson. This radio documentary is narrated by Roscoe Mercer, who was a member of WBAI back in the day. The Assassination of JFK, the Garrison Interview, Part 1 and Part 2, WBAI's gift to you today for a very nice pledge of $75, all tax deductible. Give us a call, 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. You can pledge securely online at give2, WBAI.org. I'm Bonnie Faulkner. This is Guns and Butter. As I mentioned before, we're going for 2 hours today. This is a special 2-hour fundraiser for our wonderful free speech radio, WBAI in New York. Please support the Pacifica Network. We need your contributions, your tax-deductible contribution of $75 today on Guns and Butter. All of that financial support is going to go directly to WBAI to keep us on the air. There is no other radio network or radio station where you're going to hear this kind of historical perspective. 516-620-3602. I want to thank everyone who has called in so far, and I really want to encourage those of you who have not called, who have not pledged yet for WBAI, to do that. Tony?
516-620-3602 is the phone number for you to call. A $75 pledge, as Bonnie said. And yes, we're going to send you this 2-hour radio documentary as a gift, but the real gift, folks, is Guns and Butter. The real gift is the perspective of Bonnie Faulkner that you get every Wednesday morning here at 9 a.m. The real gift is WBAI. Your dollars matter. You have sustained this station for 60 years. Let's keep that going. And Bonnie, sometimes one of the things that strike me is that we get media personalities that we start to look to on TV. And, you know, I'm trying to avoid saying a name, but I'm going to say it. I can remember us being so excited when Rachel Maddow came on TV and said, look, someone's speaking in our voice. And there was a clip of her once where she was on and she began to discuss something controversial and everything went dead. And she came back and said, I am such a conspiracy theorist. I don't know what just happened, but I am such a conspiracy theorist. You have no idea. You know, it's difficult to find that clip on YouTube even anymore. I'm not sure it's there. I've looked for it, and but I've been unable to find it. But I find it there. But eventually we see that their perspectives get muddied, and they become the mainstream. When you hear the way she's talking about Hillary Clinton now, or the an example that, for instance, when she recently accused Bush of signing NAFTA, when in fact it was Clinton who picked up the mantle of NAFTA and brought it forward from Bush and made that happen. And she this obfuscation becomes commonplace in the mainstream, and it's why a voice like yours is so important, and why a station like WBAI is so important, and why every donation matters. We are David to their Goliath, folks. We only have pebbles and stones, but you are our pebbles and stones. You are our slingshot. Load us up. It is your donations that fuel us. 516-620-3602. We know that together, even though we're standing up to a giant beast, even though we have a big uphill climb and we are fighting a many-legged monster, Leviathan, as it were, we have truth on our side, and we have the people on our side, and that is you. And for a $75 pledge, you can not only get this great documentary, but sustain this great radio station, this great history, right here from New York City. 516-620-3602. We're going to go back in a moment to this material, but before we do that, I need 10 more callers on the line. 10 more callers. Don't forget that in this hour, we are tasked with raising $3,000 in support of WBAI, but I know that we can do that with your pledges of support. And remember, $75 is kind of a small amount for us, so we need you to redouble your efforts, as many of you as you can. If you've thought about it, I want to encourage you again to become WBAI buddies and sustain this particular program. Pledge as a buddy, that means you give $10 a month on your credit card or from your bank account. We take it out each month automatically. You don't even miss it. But the general manager wants all of the programs to show that they have loyal listeners, and not just with emails, not just with phone calls, but with donations. And how do we do that? By creating WBAI buddies. And what that does for the station, folks, is it gives us an ability to calculate how much money we'll have coming in monthly, so we can know how to direct our money and we can know where we most need to place it. There are some really good things happening here at WBAI. There's some programming on the air that we're building from and building on. Things are moving upward, and it does take money to run these places. It's over $1 million per quarter to make these places go. And so every donation is very, very important. If you can give at the $50 level just to support this program, make that pledge. Some of you can give at the $500 level. Make that pledge. Some of you can give at the $1,000 level. And if you're one of those people, step up this morning and support Guns and Butter and WBAI. 516-620-3602. It's the phone number. It's the lifeline to this station. throw one of those pebbles and help us to sink it into the head of the giant media Goliath. 516-620-3602, just a $75 pledge for this WBAI-created two-hour radio documentary. 516-620-3602.
Well, that's absolutely right, Tony. I really would like to encourage those people out there listening to WBAI who realize how very, very important this station is, who can afford to donate at a higher level. Of course, $75 will get you this incredible two-hour radio documentary, The Assassination of JFK, The Garrison Interview, based on Jim Garrison's book, On the Trail of the Assassins. And most of the audio is an interview with Jim Garrison himself, the former district attorney of New Orleans. I also would like to encourage everyone to become a WBAI buddy, just like Tony said. Very, very important to donate $10, whatever, a month automatically. And then WBAI can count on those donations. 516-620-3602. Those of you who are well off and can support at a higher level and maybe pay for those listeners who can't afford to call in and pledge, very, very important. And we thank you for those donations. And $75, of course, we can provide you with this two CD set. This is a beautifully produced radio documentary with the music, the different voices, and audio from the day of, all interspersed in this incredible 2 hours. You know, every time I listen to this radio documentary, I learn more and more and more. I can never remember all of this stuff. Very important history to get this almost memorized. So it's such a part of our life today. Here we are over 50 years later, and we're still living this history. 516-620-3602. You know, wouldn't be a bad idea to pledge for this two-hour radio documentary and donate it to a college or a high school. Very important for people to learn about this history, The Assassination of JFK, The Garrison Interview. $75 pledge, 516-620-3602. I'm Bonnie Faulkner. This is a extended two-hour fundraiser for Free Speech Radio, WBAI. Well, what do you think? Should we maybe stop with part one and go to the beginning of part two? What do you think?
Why don't we do that, Bonnie? Here is more from the documentary, The Assassination of JFK, The Garrison Interviews. And thank you for your pledges of support. Please stay tuned and dial us right now at 516-620-3602 and make your $75 pledge of support.
This is Guns and Butter.
I have to reiterate one more time that this is not just another murder, not just another assassination, but I insist from the I would stake my life on it. Much as I love this country will not survive as a republic if they continue, the Congress and the presidency, the two offices I now hold most responsible, if they continue to fool the people about Jack Kennedy and continue to postpone telling them the truth. Our country will not survive.
I'm Bonnie Faulkner. Today on Guns and Butter, The Assassination of JFK, The Garrison Interview, Part 2. In this 1988 radio documentary, you'll hear the voice of co-producer and writer David Mendelson interviewing former New Orleans District Attorney Jim Garrison, author of Mafia Kingfish, Carlos Marcello, and The Assassination of JFK, John Davis, and filmmaker Oliver Stone. Roscoe Mercer narrates. The Assassination of JFK, The Garrison Interview was co-produced, edited, and directed by Andrew Phillips.
The shots apparently came from the fifth floor of the Texas Bookstore Depository Building, possibly from an automatic cut weapon. Police were looking for a young white man dressed in a white shirt with Levi's, carrying a lever-action type rifle. One witness told reporters that he had seen the rifle disappearing from that window after the shots were fired. Senator Ralph Yarbrough told a KVOX reporter that he was riding three cars behind the president's car when he heard three distinct rifle shots. The motorcade then increased in speed, running to Parkland Hospital.
Just a moment. We have a bulletin coming in. We now switch you directly to Parkland Hospital and KBOX News Director Bill Hampton.
the President of the United States is dead. I have just talked to Father Oscar Hubert of the Holy Trinity Catholic Church. He and another priest tell me that the pair of men have just administered the last rites of the Catholic Church to President Kennedy. I asked the father, is Mr. Kennedy dead? And his quote, he's dead all right. And just a few seconds ago, I talked to Thurman Ward, the Justice of Peace of Garland. He's now here at the hospital to apparently officially declare that the chief executive of the United States has expired. President Kennedy has been assassinated. It's official now. The president is dead.
This is a story about that moment in America when the government changed and the people were excluded, not just from choosing their leader, but from knowing why their leadership changed. Millions of Americans have seen Oliver Stone's movie, JFK, which focuses on Garrison's investigation in 1967, but very few have heard Judge Garrison recount his work and his message for America in his own words. This is a story about that day in Dallas, the day John Kennedy died.
I think that beginning bringing out the truth is so critical that these words must be said. The American people have to face the fact that this is not an oversight, not a mistake on somebody's part. Every day that passes, high individuals at the very top of the United States government are playing an active role in concealing from you the truth of John Kennedy's murder. Most of the men that are in the Congress who have an IQ of 100 above, or let's say even 50 and above, have to know he was brutally murdered and torn apart, but they no longer really care, apparently, because his name is never even mentioned anymore. And look at the attitude of the presidents, one after the other. These are the chief executives of our country, and yet we've had a succession of presidents now, and not one even mentions the name of John Kennedy. Apparently, they expect us to believe that Jack Kennedy is on sabbatical up at Hyannisport, and everything's all right. Well, everything isn't all right. I suggest that if the government, including the presidents, and including presidents who speak softly of wanting a kinder, gentler nation, how about an honest, also a more honest nation that tells the people the truth, which it hasn't done? Until the presidents and the Congress itself do something about bringing out the truth, I do not think this republic will last. I think it will fall. And if this happens and it falls because the government will not tell the truth, then it deserves to fall.
There are many unanswered questions concerning the death of President Kennedy, and there are several credible theories. This is not a definitive examination of the tragic events of 1963, but the Garrison interview is an important audio document of a crucial and little understood moment of American history.
Let's go back to the weekend of the assassination, and what tipped you off that New Orleans might really be at the center of a possible conspiracy. Guy Bannister was booked that night.
Well, first of all, those things did not tip me off that anything was happening. You must understand, and I plead guilty to believing the government's lie. The biggest lie it told in the history of the human race, I now see, was told by the United States government that continues to be told. But I am one of the people who believed it. And one of the reasons I believed it was I'd been in the Army all my life, 5 years in World War II, 18 years in the National Guard, and the Army had never deceived me or been deceptive, and the Army was the government to me. So I accepted these things without question. Now, the way that I happened to stumble across and gather and look into things from the what we found came across of the Bannister's beating of Jack Martin, which you described in the police report is dated 22nd of November 1963, the night of the assassination, and how we happened, even though I believe the government's pronouncements, how my office happened to catch David Ferry when he came back in from his weekend trip to Texas, was because I was just doing my duty as a district attorney because the president had been killed, Lee Oswald had spent the summer in New Orleans, so we were pretty much, you might say, grabbing suspicious people. It just happens, in hindsight, it's clear, but by accident we grabbed people who were relevant, but we did not know that at the time, so that's why I promptly turned Ferry over to the FBI and things like that. And for the next 3 years, I concentrated on burglaries, armed robberies, murders, and so forth. So don't give me too much credit. I was not an early... I'm not that quick. I did not see that something was wrong, which was... I should have. It was apparent, but I didn't see it for 3 years.
Well, why did Bannister beat Martin that night?
The reason Bannister beat Jack Martin that night was... Bannister, because probably not unrelated to his years as head of the FBI in Chicago, while he was capable of drinking heavily at night, and he would not drink during the day, and was sober as a judge during the day, but on the day of the assassination, he was with Jack Martin, who worked for him. Jack Martin did the detective work, and the office had on the front of it Guy Bannister, private detective. But all Guy Bannister did all day was work on the logistics and the problems of getting additional ammunition to Cuba for raids on Cuba and the training. He was totally working for the CIA, but Jack Martin, who was intelligent, did his detective work. So they were friends, even though they were vitally different, tremendously different personalities. But they'd both been drinking, and Bannister, for the first time to anybody's memory, got completely drunk on the afternoon of the assassination. So they got in an argument. It doesn't have to be a great reason between two drunks, and they were on the way home at nightfall, home meaning around the corner from the Catch and Jammer Bar on Camp Street, around the corner of Lafayette Street to Guy Bannister's office, and somewhere on the way upstairs, or on the second floor where the office was, Bannister blew up, and out of the blue, as Jack finally told me, said to Jack that he'd been looking into his filing cases. Well, of course, Bannister was very careful about his filing cases because there was nothing in there but intelligence. As we later learned out, there were no private cases at all. But they usually kept them locked. But Jack Martin, who was... while he was something of a character, he nevertheless was a thoroughly honest man, and he was outraged. And he replied the best way he knew how, and as he said, he was referring to Lee Oswald at the time. He said, "Look, I saw some certain people coming in and out of your office all summer long, and I can say something about that if I want to." And at that point, Bannister, who did not just carry regular sidearm, carried a 357 Magnum, pulled out a 357 Magnum. This is something else he'd never done besides drinking in the daytime. He pistol-whipped Martin until they had to get an ambulance over to cart the body away. That's the way that thing developed.
This on November 22nd.
Yes, because, and then the specific point again was, it's funny how quickly it took in time when you stop. It was a matter of hours after the arrest of Oswald. He was arrested at 3 o'clock Dallas time, and this is roughly 5:45 or 6 New Orleans time, and already, too soon for Bannister, already someone who Bannister knows has called his attention that he hasn't forgotten seeing Lee Oswald in and out of that office.
This is Guns and Butter, but I'm not Bonnie Faulkner. Here she is.
No, that's right. Thank you, Tony. I'm Bonnie Faulkner. This is an extended two-hour Guns and Butter special on WBAI. We're coming to you to ask for your support for Free Speech Radio, to support the Pacifica Network, to support WBAI. We just have aired the beginning of part two of the assassination of JFK, the Garrison interview. You've been listening to former New Orleans District Attorney Jim Garrison describing Guy Bannister, FBI, it was a famous fight, actually, between Guy Bannister and, I believe his name is Jack Martin. If you saw the movie JFK, the beginning of that movie, it's an incredible scene where Guy Bannister beats up his associate on the day of the assassination. Very, very important history. This is a beautifully produced historic document, 2 hours long, radio documentary narrated by the wonderful Roscoe Mercer, our gift to you from WBAI, produced at WBAI in 1988, filled with historic documentation. And you heard Jim Garrison describe the fact that if this murder, this crime, the killing of Jack Kennedy was not solved, if the government didn't come clean, that it would indicate the end of the American Republic. Well, we're still a Republic in name, but not in much else. And I think Jim Garrison's prophecy has come true. The assassination of JFK, the Garrison interview, part one, part two, 2 hours long, WBAI's gift to you, the listener, for your generous support of $75 by calling us at 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. You can pledge securely online at givetowbai.org. That's give the number to wbai.org. There's a lot of commentary about the Bay of Pigs, the Cold War with Russia. Jim Garrison points out that it was General Charles Cabell who was behind, who was in charge of the invasion of Cuba, the Bay of Pigs invasion of Cuba. Just turns out that his brother, Earl Cabell, was the mayor of Dallas on the day that John Kennedy was assassinated. 516-620-3602. Please support this vital, vital station, WBAI, part of the Pacifica Network. 516-620-3602, $75, and WBAI would be delighted to mail you this two CD set, this standalone radio documentary. Tony?
516-620-3602. And you know, Bonnie, anytime we broach this topic, I ask this question or I think about this. Most people think that the President of the United States is the most powerful person on the planet. But there's someone, some power somewhere, who was able to call for the assassination of that quote-unquote most powerful person on the planet. That means that there must be some other power structure that we're not privy to, or that isn't exposed to us, or it appears that. Who can make that call to assassinate a president of the United States of America? And the other thing that comes to my mind, Bonnie, as you talk about this crime not being solved, I think forward to 9/11, the two biggest crimes in this country, perhaps, never solved. No one prosecuted, no one going to jail, not even bin Laden being accused. He's not even accused by the FBI or the U.S. government of doing this. He's accused on television. But not legally. There have been no charges brought against him, and the FBI themselves said that there was no material connecting him to 9/11. So what is this power structure who can fly planes into buildings and who can call for the assassination of a president that we, the American people, don't have access to? And that's why the details of this documentary are so important. As you said, Bonnie, the more times you listen to it, the more information you learn. There are details here, folks. There are people behind the scenes calling shots, apparently, that we don't know about. And that's why this media voice is so important. The other media voice does things like when 9/11 is, when we have the memorial, it was the 15-year anniversary, and we have these, we're talking about a football player kneeling down, as opposed to the fact that no one has been charged in the greatest crime in this, in history. And of course, Lee Harvey Oswald is accused in this one, but who really buys that? It's clear from this documentary that he was working with them people. 516-620-3602, a $75 pledge of support. Folks, we got a couple more minutes left in this break. We need you to get to the phones now. We have to raise $3,000 in this hour. We can only do that with your support. If you're a person that can pledge at the $500 level, call us at 516-620-3602. If you're a person that can pledge at the $1,000 level, and thank Bonnie Faulkner for the incredible work she does every week on this program, do that. Again, Bonnie, when I was here before between 2009 and 2012, people would approach me at our events and say, Guns and Butter, Bonnie Faulkner, thank you. Thank you for bringing that show to the airwaves. Thank you so much for putting that on WBAI. And you know what, folks? We appreciate your emails. We appreciate your kind words. But it is your dollars that keeps Guns and Butter flowing right here on WBAI. $75 at 516-620-3602, or make the choice to become a WBAI buddy and sustain the station, sustain Guns and Butter by giving $10 per month. 516-620-3602. There are a lot of questions that need to be answered, and Bonnie spends her time on Guns and Butter answering just those questions. Bonnie Faulkner?
That's right, Tony. 516-620-3602. We must raise at least $3,000 this hour. And at $75 a call, we're going to need some calls. We're going to need a lot of calls. We've only got 15 minutes left. We want to get back and hear some more of part two, the assassination of JFK, the Garrison interview. But we need to get a few more of you on the line. 516-620-3602, $75. For this two-hour incredible historic radio documentary, 516-620-3602. Those of you who are in a position to support us at a higher level, please give us a call. Very, very important, so important to keep WBAI on the air, 516-620-3602. Well, let's see. Hopefully we can hear a few more minutes at least of part two.
516-620-3602.
The Bannister was very careful about his filing cases because there was nothing in there but intelligence. As we later learned out, there were no private cases at all. And they usually kept them locked. But Jack Martin, who was something of a character, he nevertheless was a thoroughly honest man, and he was outraged. And he replied the best way he knew how, and as he said, he was referring to Lee Oswald at the time. He said, look, I saw some certain people coming in and out of your office all summer long, and I can say something about that if I want to. And at that point, Bannister, who did not just carry regular sidearm, carried a 357 Magnum, pulled out a 357 Magnum. This is something else he'd never done besides drinking in the daytime. He pistol-whipped Martin until they had to get an ambulance over to cart the body away. That's the way that thing developed.
This on November 22nd.
Yes, because and the specific point again was it's funny how quickly it took in time when you stopped. It was a matter of hours after the arrest of Oswald. He was arrested at 3 o'clock Dallas time, and this is roughly 5:45 or 6 New Orleans time, and already... Too soon for Bannister. Already someone who Bannister knows has called his attention that he hasn't forgotten seeing Lee Oswald in and out of that office. So that's why he blew up.
Something I think we should get into, which Garrison never goes into in his book, is how Garrison became interested in reinvestigating the assassination of John F. Kennedy.
John Davis, author of Mafia Kingfish, Carlos Marcello, and the Assassination of JFK.
Is pretty certain that it was Senator Russell Long who convinced Garrison to reopen the investigation of the JFK assassination. Long was closely associated with Carlos Marcello. He was Marcello's man in Washington, and Marcello was Long's principal financial backer. It was Russell Long who persuaded Garrison that the CIA was behind the JFK murder. So, in a way, you have the sinister possibility that Garrison was being manipulated by Marcello forces to reopen the investigation and to point it in a different direction, point it away from organized crime and toward the CIA. We have to mention also that another individual who was responsible for convincing Garrison to reopen the investigation was Congressman from Louisiana, Hale Boggs, who was another supporter of Marcello, and Marcello was a backer of his campaigns. And curiously, Hale Boggs was appointed to the Warren Commission by President Johnson. And he also evidently persuaded Garrison that the CIA was behind the assassination.
Carlos Marcello was the boss
of the second largest mafia family in the United States, which operated throughout Louisiana, Mississippi, and parts of Texas, including Dallas and Houston. This criminal organization was doing a business of something like $2 billion a year in narcotics and extortion schemes, prostitution rings, I mean, you name it, every conceivable crime you can think of. And so it was an immensely wealthy organization, and Marcello himself was supposed to have been the richest single mafia boss in the whole country. And he came under a sort of special attack by Robert Kennedy when he was Attorney General. He was singled out for special investigation and prosecution.
And we are back on WBAI with Guns and Butter. Bonnie Faulkner is right here.
You know, Tony, we don't have enough time to play more of part two, but what the audio we just heard was leading up to was Jim Garrison debunking the whole theory that was put out there, he claims, by U.S. intelligence, that the assassination of JFK was, in fact, a mafia hit. He goes into that history, his analysis, and he shows how that is not true, that this mafia may have been involved, organized crime may be involved, but they were not the originator of the assassination of John Kennedy. And it's quite an interesting conversation to listen to. I'm so sorry that we don't have time to air it. You're listening to the assassination of JFK, the Garrison interview. We heard a little bit of part two. This is a whole other hour, the second CD of our gift to you today for a $75 pledge to Free Speech Radio, WBAI in New York, for a $75 tax-deductible pledge. Please call 516-620-3602. I'm Bonnie Faulkner. This is the end of a special two-hour fundraiser for Free Speech Radio, WBAI, part of the Pacifica Network. We are solely listener-sponsored. It's your contributions that keep us on the air. There's no money accepted from corporations, not even from the government anymore. As Tony Bates has pointed out, it's you, the listener, who is the sole support of this radio station. This is why WBAI is able to broadcast what you can't hear anywhere else on any other of the major media. Please support us. Please support WBAI. Your $75 pledge goes straight to WBAI for this in-house, pre-produced radio documentary, The Assassination of JFK, the Garrison Interview. You get to hear Jim Garrison's own voice. This is quite an historic document. I mentioned before, of course, you heard the voice of accused assassin Lee Harvey Oswald. In that last clip, we heard the voice of John Davis, who wrote a book on the mafia involvement in the JFK assassination. This radio documentary, narrated by the wonderful Roscoe Mercer, that wonderful voice. This is a documentary produced in 1988 at WBAI by Andrew Phillips. 516-620-3602. You can pledge securely online at give2wbai.org. I'm Bonnie Faulkner. This is Guns and Butter. I'm joined on air today by WBAI's Tony Bates.
And
Tony?
I'm so grateful to be on the air with you, Bonnie. 516-620-3602. Folks, just 7 minutes, 6 minutes left in this hour. We've got to raise another $1,000. We need you to get to that phone. You may be that person, though, that can pledge at the $1,000 level. Do that on your American Express, your MasterCard, your Visa card, your Discover card. You may be the person that can pledge at the $500 level. But understand how important it is that you support, particularly this program and this station. And Bonnie, I want to talk about a little bit of, you know, our perspectives aren't popular even among our colleagues sometimes. It's not always easy to get this kind of information on the airwaves, even at Pacifica Radio. And so that's one of the reasons I think your program has to be supported and is so important. But you can't tell me, folks, that there are no conspiracies after what just happened to Bernie Sanders. After what we saw in the mainstream media, the Democratic Party conspired not to do anything to Bernie necessarily, but to take from you the most popular candidate that was in the race. They didn't just do something to Bernie. They didn't give us, the American people, the opportunity to vote for that person. By the way, as my colleague, our colleague Jonathan Alexander at KPFK said, the biggest conspiracy that we have on the Air Pacifica is just keep voting for Democrats and everything will be okay. 516-620-3602. It's imperative that you support a program and a perspective like Guns and Butter. It is, for me, really, folks, when I heard your program originally, Bonnie, I was blown away. And as the program evolved, I'm so proud that I brought it to these airwaves. I'm really very proud that I brought your show to these airwaves and that you get to present your information to New York. And one of the reasons I'm so proud is because so many New Yorkers have told me how much they love your program and won't miss it. Think about how the mainstream media steals or omits. They always talk about the two towers that fell on 9/11 when indeed three towers fell. So as they tell us this story over and over for years, they just, by a sin of omission, leave out the truth. The same is true with the JFK assassination, and that's why we're presenting this documentary for you, JFK Assassination, The Garrison Interview. Get a copy of it for a $75 pledge. Just 4 minutes left in the hour, folks. We need the phones to ring. Pledge that $75. We'll send this documentary out to you. And as Bonnie said earlier, this is not anything that we have to invest money in. It's right here in-house. And so your dollars go much further when you pledge for this premium. 516-620-3602. Let's get another 20 callers on the line before the end of this hour. And Bonnie, we only have 3.5 minutes to do that.
Well, Tony, I like the fact that you made a connection between the assassination of John Kennedy in November of 1963 and what happened on September 11th, 2001, right there in New York City. Both major, major crimes, neither one of them solved. We're still living this history, folks. 516-620-3602, two-hour radio documentary for a $75 pledge. Tax deductible to WBAI. Pledge online, of course, at give2wbai.org. I'm so grateful for the support that the listeners give to Guns and Butter. You know, I am a full-time volunteer, as so many of the programmers at WBAI devote their time unpaid to bring you incredible programming that you can't hear anywhere else. This station needs your support. This station deserves your support. If you're listening, then you are getting something out of WBAI. Please show some reciprocity, let's put it that way, to help support this incredible institution, because, as I've mentioned before, it's you, the listener, who supports the station. No one else does. There is no corporate underwriting. We don't even get money anymore from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. It's you, solely the listener, that supports this station. For a $75 pledge, we would be more than happy to provide you with this two-hour radio documentary. This is an historic documentary. It's beautifully produced, edited, music mixed in. It's very exciting to listen to, and it's very educational. You can donate these CDs to a library, to a school. You can give them away as gifts. We're coming up on November 22nd, not too far in the future. Just next month, the assassination of JFK, the Garrison interview, part one, part two, 2 hours long, for a tax-deductible contribution of $75. We need to get a few more people on the phone before we go off at the top of the hour. 516-620-3602. I want to thank the listeners of WBAI. I finally got to meet a few of you over the weekend of this year at Cooper Union at the 9/11 Justice in Focus. I met so many incredible WBAI listeners. Oh, my gosh. They were just mobbing me and telling me how much they appreciate WBAI. They've been supporters for many, many decades, how much Guns and Butter is appreciated. So that was really wonderful feedback for me to get. 516 620-3602. Please call us, give us your support, and we would be more than delighted to give you this two-hour radio documentary. Tony, last words?
My last words are 516-620-3602. Thank you for having me on with you, Bonnie. I'm honored to be on with one of the producers at Pacifica I admire so much. And folks, that's why you should support this program. Thank you for being here, and stay tuned to WBAI for more Fun Drive programming.
Hi, this is Nando from WBAI's Con Sabor Latino. Please continue to support WBAI by joining us for our annual Salsa Dance fundraiser at SOB's on Friday, November 11th. The four great bands with special guests that are confirmed are Jimmy Delgado and his orchestra, Conjunto Sabor featuring WBAI's own Chico Alvarez, Arturo Ortiz and Siete Con Calle, and the new Swing Sextet, who, by the way, will receive a WBAI Con Sabor Latino Lifetime Achievement Award. We'll also honor Willie Torres, the original lead vocalist and only founding member of the iconic Joe Cuba Sextet, alive today. Please join us for this historic WBAI Salsa Dance fundraiser at SOB's on Friday, November 11th. For more information, visit WBAI.org, SOBS.com, or call 212-243-4940.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Before you continue on with your day, I'd like to ask you to visit the website at WBAI.org and consider becoming a BAI buddy. For as little as $10 a month, you can help the station and make a recurring donation on behalf of this program. As a BAI buddy, you receive a WBAI membership card, as well as very nice discounts at area museums and various local facilities and selected WBAI-supported events. And I'll donate a free CD, no charge to the station. It's a safe, secure, and easy way for you to support this commercial-free, listener-sponsored radio station, WBAI.org. Thank you for your support.
From New York, it's the Gary Nall Show. And now, your host, Gary Nall. Got my mojo working, but
just don't work on you. Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Nice to have you with us today.
What we're going to do today, the first premium will be a welcome to everyone who got a premium a couple of years ago, Michael. If you remember the anti-arthritics, anti-inflammatory cookbook,
yes,
Healing
sir.
Through Natural Foods,
mm-hmm.
It was a big hit, and people not only got it, but they used it and have improved their health, and lots of pain was diminished or eliminated. So I was asked, when are you going to do a follow-up that handles everything, not just inflammation or pain? So what I did was I spent 7 months creating brand new, original, vegan, gluten-free recipes and making them easy but beautiful to look at. And that's what we now have, a brand new cookbook. In fact, Michael, I've asked the publisher, could they offer this to WBA prior to this going into the bookstores? Mm. And the official release date is when I'm appearing on PBS stations in August 27th. So we actually have a window of opportunity to have this exclusively to WBAI and its listeners. The cookbook has several things that people should appreciate. First and foremost, it's called the Healing Foods Cookbook. The Healing Foods Cookbook. And it has gorgeous photographs, actually more photographs than the original book. Beautiful presentations. In fact, so beautiful that when I did a seminar at David Boulay's workshop, his cooking workshop, which was earlier in the year, these recipes were shown up on his screen and then with a discussion of each one. And David Boulay, if you're not aware, is America's greatest chef. He's the only one that has the highest Michelin stars. And he is also trying to transform his diners into appreciating vegan entrees. So the cookbook is just a beautiful book. It's the kind of book that you're going to use over and over again. And I go through all the different recipes, like a wakame, a stir fry, where people generally wouldn't think of using wakame, which is a sea vegetable, with other stir fries. You generally think of stir fries as or maybe using some the sprouts, and you quick fry them at low temperature, and you throw in some tofu or tempeh. No, this is a wonderful dish of using sea vegetables and a tarragon tempeh. But when you look at the dish, you would never know that it was directly related to what I'm talking about, because I put so much energy into presentation. So it's like looking at an art book. Every single photograph, if you love pastas, you'll love the presentation, because these presentations are based upon what a gourmet five-star restaurant would give you. So that's what's important. You're going to learn how to make beautiful dishes, delicious dishes, vegan dishes, and easily to do. You see, it would be no good if I suggested a recipe that nobody could make. So I'm going to make sure everybody can make every single recipe. So after I made my recipes, I gave them to people who are not chefs, they're not even cooks, and asked them, make these and tell me how difficult it was, how did it taste when it was finished. And that took about 5 months. And so any that they found too difficult, I excluded. Any that they didn't particularly like the taste, maybe too spicy and or too bland, I eliminated. So what we have is over 250 of the most gorgeous, delicious recipes with photographs at most and descriptions of how to plate it, how to put it together. So that's what we have. But that's only half the book. The other half of the book, and the best juices you've ever had, for every kind of condition. So then what I did is I decided to do something that will help everyone, because all the time, no matter where I'm at, I'm always stopped all the time. Yesterday it was in Central Park, and this was not from our writing club members. These were just people where I was standing around at 90th and 5th waiting for the people to get there so we could do a discussion and work out around the park. People would stop. There was a biker who stopped. Oh, Gary, listen to your show. I have a question. What's your question? Well, my my mom's immune system at 67 seems to be going, and the doctors know what to do. What would you suggest? Then about 15 minutes later, a woman who's a part of the Korean Running Club, which is a really good running club. They meet there every single week. And she came over, and she said, just want to let you know that I've been listening to your program for over 20 years. However, what I'm finding is that my husband's brain is not working right. I said, what do you mean? Well, he is making the same statements over and over and over again. And it was interesting because it really scared me. Two nights ago, we just got home from seeing a movie, and a Star Trek movie, and we're sitting there about 2 hours later, and he said, why don't we go to the movies tomorrow night and see that Star Trek? And I looked at him and I said, we just saw Star Trek. He said, we did? When? Tonight. Now, that may seem hard for most people to understand or comprehend if you've never experienced someone with Alzheimer's or dementia. But for those of us who work with Alzheimer's dementia, it is absolutely the norm. Same conversations 10, 20, 30 times in a day. Not recognizing people that have been around them for a long time. Now, they might have some past memories that are very good from childhood, but current memories, no. And she said, what can I do? And so I suggested a protocol to her and gave her a protocol. Now, why am I telling you this? Because yesterday afternoon, when I was in the airport, and I was sitting there waiting, I had a long wait. I called over, and I was speaking with Luann, and she said, just got a call. Why don't you call this person? What for? I think you'll find it interesting. So I called the person. This is a person who lives up in Greenwich, Connecticut, with his wife. And he just said, I just want you to know that my father was given a terminal condition. There was nothing they could do to reverse it. He hadn't been out of bed. He couldn't move his muscles. He hadn't been able to speak, and though he would have outbursts of anger, and they said that he's at the end stage, nothing could be done, and so that was it, just keeping tranquilized. And he had end stage Alzheimer's, but he was at a point where he couldn't even talk. So I got a protocol of yours, and we began using it. And I had nurses with him, and I hired the leading dietitian. And I said, here's a protocol. Would you review it? She did. And she said, I don't know who gave you this protocol. He didn't mention my name. She said, but this is the best of the best. She said, we've never been given protocols like this. We couldn't use a protocol like this in a hospital setting. The doctors wouldn't allow it. But he wasn't treating his dad in a hospital. He took him home. And so now he says this. He said, in the 2 months since he should have been dead, we're keeping a diary of everything he does and eats and says. He's talking. Today, he said, I need to go to the bathroom. And that floored me because he hasn't said a sentence in a year and a half. He also was able, with some assistance, to walk to the bathroom. Now he's walking around his room. And he's taking his protocol. This is very important. We never believed this was possible. Even the nurses who were helping said it wasn't possible, and could they get the protocol also? So he said, I'm keeping detailed diaries so that in 6 months to a year, when my father's recovered, I want to have a story for you that is 100% documented. I said, fine. I said, but your dad is not the only person that has come back from the abyss. We don't have a society that has encouraged open dialogue and fair and honest exchange without intemperance. We demand blood sport, intellectual or emotional. Argue, fight, demean, denigrate, deny. So we can show we're right, you're wrong. And that's how most people discuss anything. It's of a difference in our society. And that's unfortunate, because think of how many people would be saved today, their health improved today, if they were simply given the opportunity to know that there are other systems that do work. But we don't allow for alternative systems. We don't allow for one. And so I said, so as you yourself have argued with people to prove that you're right, defended your ego, defended your choices you've made, now why should your doctors be any different? Then he understood. And then he just said, I just said, keep me in the loop, and in about 3 months, I'll give you a second part of the protocol. So that was just yesterday afternoon. Then I got another call from Lynn, who said she just had this humongous argument with an oncologist and a nurse, because she's a 40-year oncological nurse. She's run emergency rooms. She's run hospitals, nursing departments. She's no average, mediocre person. She's extraordinarily gifted and perceptive and talented. And she was just talking with a patient's family who was trying to get some alternative therapy, and the doctors were saying there's nothing that will work, and just wanted to give them morphine and antibiotics, and that's it, nothing else. They weren't even feeding this person. And the doctor said, our protocols don't allow us to feed people or change the protocol. Our protocol is when they're in the stage, morphine and antibiotics, that's it. And Luann's trying to explain that she has deep experience working with terminal ill patients, and there are other ways, even with stage four. And if the doctor would like to speak with some stage four people who are no longer stage four, three, two, or one, she'll give them the names and addresses. Nope, not interested. Okay. That really frustrated her. And it frustrated the patient's family, because they wanted help, didn't know where to go. Now, is it that that doctor wants the patient to die? No. Would the doctor want the patient to live? Absolutely. So we have to separate out the motive of wanting to heal in a profession that is dedicated to healing and rarely, if ever, healing. In fact, the treatment, the protocol actually encourages chemotherapy and radiation, not surgery. But chemotherapy and radiation actually encourages death. So, again, this is where you have to be very nuanced and look at the larger picture and realize well-intentioned, very intelligent, highly trained individuals could nonetheless produce the very opposite results that everyone expects, and yet we continue to reward them. So that said, and that's just so current, that was just yesterday, I just want to tell you what I've done with